In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
And we extend a welcome to our guests and visitors today. We celebrate, of course, this wonderful day of the chrismation and reception into the Holy Orthodox Church of Patrick Lincoln. And we congratulate him, and we offer our prayers for his sponsor, who is Chris Harrison. And we pray that the Lord God will fill him with his grace. We also have our start of church school today. And speaking of Chris, Chris had another thing going on in his life this week. And that is that his son, Eddie, is his name also is Patrick, so it's sort of like Patrick Day today. Eddie has begun his service, his first training in the National Guard. He has gone off this weekend. He'll be gone for this weekend, then he'll come back, and then he'll go after a few weeks for a longer stay, and of course his boot camp and all of those kinds of things. And before he went, I mentioned to him that one of the things that strikes me, being a priest and in the church and seeing people deal with the faith, I have found that military guys get it. They really do. And I thought about that a little bit this week, and so I thought I would share just a few thoughts about how that works or why that works. And why it is that people who have military training can often then make the transition into Orthodox Christianity. Because there are certain elements that we have that are in common. I like it when the military guys come to our church. Because they understand that the church requires order. The church requires discipline. The church requires training. And in fact, they themselves in their military training have gone through this. And without that, without the training, without the discipline, the military is in chaos. And dare I say that it is the same for us. That if we hope to be the Church of Christ, that we have to go through this training as well. We must be disciplined. It's a different training. It's a different discipline. It is every bit as intensive, and it is more important. The church is not ashamed or afraid to use military language. We pray whenever a person comes in to the church as a catechumen, make this your servant, a newly enlisted warrior in Christ. You see, this is an enlistment. Coming into the church is an enlistment. And this is a coming into a process whereby one becomes a soldier of Christ. This, by the way, in the chrismation service or the confirmation service in the Roman Catholic Church is actually very prominent. This idea of the battle, the struggle, the war. Christ himself used these types of images as well. If you recall, right before he was taken away at his betrayal, you know, Peter came up and he says, the Lord had before had said, put away the sword, but now he says, take up your sword to Peter. And Peter hands him two swords and the Lord says, you don't get it. It's not that kind of battle. It's not a battle with swords. Christianity, though, is a battle. And it's a battle for which we need to be trained. This is a training ground for body and soul. Indeed, even in the military, the mind must be trained. A lot of times, not only do they train their bodies, but they have to be trained to think a certain way. So it is with us. We have to learn how to think a different way than the way that we've been thinking. And the pattern of that thinking is given to us in the gospel and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we must take upon ourselves. Patrick, over the past year or so, has been undergoing training. It's required a discipline. It's required teaching. It's required struggle with, do I believe this teaching? Do I accept this teaching? And finally, an assent to it, so that that teaching can then guide one's life, empowered by the grace of the Holy Spirit. An essential element of this training is that you find in military life is self-deprivation. And so what do? You know, they blow the horn and all of a sudden it's 2 o'clock in the morning, we're going on a hike. Where? Through the swamp. And that's what they do. And it, you deny yourself the pleasure of sleep and rest and all those things, and out you go. Because the denial of pleasure is something that is necessary for training and discipline. If we have an undisciplined or a weak church, it is perhaps because we succumb to our pleasures far too much. And our pleasures rule us. And so our ascetical life in the church is meant to teach us how to deny ourselves pleasure. That's why when we come to the fasting periods, we must take them seriously. We should do this every day, to some degree, self-denial. And certainly on the days of fasting, deny ourselves. Get serious about it. Don't just say, well, how can I get around the rules so I can make something that's just as delightful and it follows all the rules of the fast? No, it's self-denial. That's what it's about. Get with it. You know, sometimes whenever the a person, you know, the guys that go into training, and they're into training 2 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever, and then they finally get a day off of leave, and they go on to the off of the base. Okay, what is that? That's a test. That's a test to see if they will keep their training or not. What happens? A lot of guys get thrown in jail. Because they've been under this intensive training for so long, then all of a sudden they get freedom and they go crazy. It was funny, I used to go down to Hampton from time to time in my day job. And it was amazing the number of guys in my day job. I had to go to the local circuit court and do some work there. It was amazing the number of military guys that would come through there. And, you know, a lot of times it was just guys that they'd get off their time off and they decide they have to go drink or they got to go fool around this or that, and then they would get themselves not only in trouble militarily but also even civilly. Do you ever experience that yourself? Where you go through the fast, the intensive period of time, and you've been doing well and you've been struggling, you're finally starting to get it, then finally maybe Pascha comes or something, all of a sudden, woo, here we go. And you forget everything. You forget everything that you learned. You put aside all the disciplines. And you lose. You dissipate what it is that the Lord has given to you in terms of that inner training, that inner mind, so that when you get that freedom, you're not necessarily going to squander your spiritual life in the process. So often in dealing with certain sins like pornography, that's what will happen. That once a person who has been fighting, struggling against that mightily for a long time, just a little incident will trigger, then all of a sudden they lose their freedom. We must struggle. We must continue the ascetic disciplines in these ways. Now this self-denial, this training leads to something else. It leads to sacrifice. And that's what our Lord was talking about on the cross. Because, you see, that's what our Lord was doing all this time in teaching his disciples. He's saying, look, you must be trained. Here is the training. This is the training manual. It's my words. Now, but a time is coming when you will need to deny your very self, take up your cross, and follow me. So, as you see my life as a sacrifice, so you will see and you will live your life as a sacrifice. Now, this is something that the military guys know. They know what it's like to sacrifice. Their families sacrifice a lot. The longing. You know, I just feel so strongly for Ileana and her family, as Troy's been overseas now for all of these months. And everyone who goes through the support of the military effort. They go through and they realize that there is a sacrifice. Now, what is the purpose of the sacrifice? You see, there's no sacrifice. To give your life for nothing, that's stupid. When there's a sacrifice, there's something. You're offering your life to someone or for some purpose. And that is the whole purpose and the meaning of the cross, is a sacrifice. It's a saving sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that means something for us. And the question is then, are we willing to sacrifice for Christ? In the military, you're called to sacrifice your life, and this was something that many of the Vietnam vets went through. It was so difficult for them in their minds. My sacrifice is to take that hill. That's it. That is the purpose of my sacrifice, is to take that hill. I may or may not succeed. And that hill may be gone tomorrow. It may be over on the next day, which makes my sacrifice pretty meaningless. But nevertheless, they would be willing to do that because they had been trained, and they had been disciplined, and their thoughts were such that this was what their life was about. And in the same way, our military people today, they sacrifice. And they're led to believe that their small actions of sacrifice have a bigger and greater purpose. Namely, the well-being of our country. The ultimate bringing of peace into the world. And some can argue, and the church has over the years, as to the efficaciousness of that. But nevertheless, the intention and the sacrifice that is made should be honored if it is made out of a good intention for love of neighbor and the protection of our nation. Ultimately, the mission of the military should be the preservation of peace. But the ultimate sacrifice. And by the way, as a reminder of this, every week in the bulletin we print the names of the people of our soldiers who have died this past month. Just this past month. We put them in the bulletin for our prayers, reminding us that they have made that ultimate sacrifice of their lives and given up their lives for us. But if this is the purpose of love of neighbor, if that is the purpose that our soldiers offer, how much more so the love of God should be our willingness to sacrifice, whatever it takes. This is what, brothers and sisters, we are called to. And this self-denial process, you see, that we go through is all a lead-up to this process of sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that makes us holy by the very nature of the word. It is something that makes us holy. If it is a true, a good, and a righteous sacrifice in the eyes of God, it will make us holy. Our Christian walk, our Christian discipline, our ascent in faith, our following of Christ, our taking up the cross, all of these sacrifices, whatever the crosses may be of life, these make us holy. This is the ultimate purpose, and the only real purpose to do this Christianity thing is to make us holy, to make us godlike. That's the purpose. Now, in the battle, in this Christian life, there is weaponry. And we use these terms. Did you hear the Kontakion of the cross that we sang today? Your weapon of peace. We refer to the cross as the weapon of peace. Unfortunately, sometimes the cross has been used as a weapon of war. Since the time of the Crusades, for various reasons and at various times and places, it has been used as, and before that, as a means of war. But it is ultimately a weapon of peace. What are our weapons? Can you list them? What are your weapons? Who are you battling? We're not battling the Muslims. We're not. Other than the ignorance or the falsehood which Islam perpetrates, we are battling that because that's a spiritual reality. But we're not battling those people. They're just people that have been deceived. So we have to use the weapons that bring the truth of Christ to those who are living in falsehood. But there are many other weapons that must be used as well. What are the things that we are afflicted by? What's the warfare like? Well, we're afflicted by all kinds of temptation, by the devil. And our asceticism actually is part of our weaponry. Our fasting is one of the things that helps us to fight against gluttony. You got problems with that? Most of us do. We fast, we abstain. You have problems with drinking, you abstain. You exercise your will ahead of time and consecrate yourself and use that as a weapon. We have to learn how to use these weapons correctly and effectively and skillfully. The church has many weapons. The sacraments are weapons. The prayers that the priest can offer and pray for a person. So I go through the Book of Needs, 4-volume set of prayers for all kinds of needs. People that are suffering from difficulty in sleeping, possibly from demonic, you know, temptation. It's a weapon. Let's use them. That's part of my mission and ministry as a priest, the ministry of any of us as priests, is to teach our folks how to use the weapons, to give them weapons and teach them how to use them. Prayer is a very effective weapon. Patrick, I hope you know how to pray, and I hope you're learning how to pray, and I hope that you become stronger in your prayer. I hope that your prayer becomes a knife edge that can cut the evil one, because you see, he is the enemy. The devil is the enemy. It's not flesh and blood that's our enemy, but the principalities and the powers of darkness that St. Paul mentioned. These are our enemies, and prayer is what battles the enemy, and we have our shield of faith, and we have other weapons as well. Fathers mentioned almsgiving. That's a good one. Almsgiving is a good weapon against greed. So if you have a trouble with greed, if the temptation of greed comes to you, give it away. Give alms. And that will free you. It will free your heart spiritually. You know how to defeat anger. One effective weapon against anger is forgiveness. Spoken forgiveness. Say it. Mean it. I forgive you. Whoever it is that has offended us, we speak forgiveness and realize that it is the evil one who ultimately wounds us. The cross then is a weapon of peace, and it's a weapon that must be used. We make the sign of the cross. The sign of the cross protects us. It protects us from the evil one. It focuses our mind on spiritual things, even when we are in the midst of what may be many temptations. Thirdly, another thing that we need in doing this battle, you see, if you're going to fight the fight, you have to have supply lines. You have to have reinforcements. You can't fight the fight alone. You have to have your comrades, the people who are with you, that support you, that provide to you what you need in order to keep the battle up. You know, we can all march into battle. I can march into battle myself. And I could do great for about 10 minutes, maybe. And then I run out of ammo. And then I got nothing. And then I'm in peril. But you see, what we have to do is that we have to gather together as an arsenal of spiritual resources. The church is to be like a base, a strong base. Think of Norfolk. That's really just got these great resources that can go out and do wonderful things in a spiritual way. So is this church, is the Orthodox Church in America, our church, our parish, are we a base of operations from which we do God's work, where we enlist people and we bring them into this spiritual battle on our side? You see, that's what it's about. Or maybe we're not so much a base. Maybe we're more like an encampment or an outpost. And the weaker we are, the more easily we are overrun. We need logistics. We need people committed. We need supplies. We need training. You know, we're going to start a religious education program today. You know what they're doing? They're training these kids. They're training these kids for spiritual battles that they're going to do a lot. The battle is going to take place a lot younger in their lives than it did in probably most of us who are adults, as the temptations are coming to youth so much earlier. We need to equip them, to train them, so that they can be the witnesses, the martyrs. Indeed, it is the witnesses and the martyrs, the ones who serve Christ and give up their life and make the total sacrifice to Him, ultimately in their death, that this is what we have to train them to be. Nothing less. That's what Christianity is. That's what the Lord said in the gospel. He said, he who loves his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it. And that's who we're called to be. So the question is, are we as a parish going to be then a place of strength, a base of operation, where we can be, you know, one of the things that the base has is a hospital. where, you know, if you've been out in the battle, you've been wounded, you go back to the base, you get patched up so that you can go back into the battle again in many cases. Now, just to conclude, my role as a priest in the church is kind of like a recruiter. I'm here to recruit. And, you know, I don't know how the fella, what he happened to say to Eddie in order to convince him to say, well, this military idea is a good idea. But, you know, we have to use all of our resources to recruit people. You're all recruits. We're all recruits. Some of us are more raw than others. Some have been trained well. Some have been not so trained so well. But we're all trying to serve the Lord. That's why we're here. And there are many others who will serve the Lord as well, and who long to fight for righteousness and good and truth with the power of the precious cross of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I invite you to step up and to take up your cross and to make your sacrifices, and especially to Patrick today, as you have been sealed in the gift of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit provides you the gifts, the weapons, the graces to be able to carry out His will in doing the spiritual warfare. And believe me, you will do it in the work that you do. You will need spiritual weapons to do the counseling work of young, troubled people who you will speak with, and many others. And may God provide you those spiritual weapons to not only protect yourself, but to also find victory for them, so that the grace of God may bring them salvation and protection, so that they are not overrun. And for our youth and for our children, may this day of the Holy Cross be for us a day of victory. Because you see, that's what Christianity is about. It's about victory. We suffer some defeats from time to time in this world, but the ultimate victory is in the cross of Jesus. It is in His death. It is in His resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.